Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
January 17th. What is January 17th this year? Does anybody know? National Quitters Day. Exactly. So what they have determined is the second Friday in January. By then, all these people that made New Year's resolutions, they've quit. So if you're still going with yours, congratulations. You beat the quitting day, and people are moving on. So I set a goal. I'm going to do this every day kind of thing. So one of my goals is riding my bike in the miles. And so it's kind of cumulative. So if I miss a few days, that means just later on I got to ride more. But we all set these goals. And I don't know how many of you are resolution people or already see the writing on the wall and know you're not going to make it. But if you've made it past January 17th, then good for you. But one of the things about New Year's resolutions, these goals we set out before us, is you gotta want it bad. If you don't want it, if you go in haphazardly with some of these goals, you pretty much know you're never gonna make it. If you're not willing to put forth the effort to see it through, that goal is not to come to fruition. So this morning I want to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21-28, and we're going to look at the faith of the Canaanite woman. All right? So let's read this passage together, and then we'll dig into it real quick. And I lost my paper. So let's read this. Matthew 15, 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Let's pray together. Father, this is kind of an interesting passage, especially with some of the things that Jesus says in there. What in the world is going on? But in the midst of that, we see a woman who wanted it bad. She knew Jesus was the answer, and she pursued it. So as we dig into this, Lord, would you prick our hearts and challenge us to follow hard after you, to want it bad for your sake. So we commit our time to you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we want to look at this, her faith. But as I mentioned in the prayer, there's some things in this passage that just don't make sense. So first of all, the setting doesn't make sense. Verses 21 and 22, it's up there on the screen. Jesus had withdrawn over from near the Sea of Galilee. And to get away, he was dealing with the religious leaders over there, and it wasn't going good, and so he needed some time away. So here he goes into the land of Canaan, and he's over by the Mediterranean coast of Tyre and Sidon. He comes into this land of Canaan. What do we know the land of Canaan as? The promised land. This is where the children of Israel came into. There had been a long history of fighting, false gods, intermarrying, captivity, all kinds of stuff. Why would Jesus leave Israel where his people are and go over here where it's Gentiles and unfriendly, not culturally compatible? Just doesn't make sense. But then also, out comes this Canaanite woman. Knowing the relationship between the Canaanites and the Israelites, it makes even less sense for this woman to come out and approach Jesus. How's this for background? Go back to Genesis. Abraham is looking for a wife for his son Isaac. He calls his oldest, and I'm assuming most respected servant, in. And he said, "I want you to make a vow to me. Promise me that you won't find a wife for Isaac amongst the daughters of the Canaanites. Go to my people in my land, not here. So I'm assuming that this woman probably knows this context, that it's been taught, and that's this relationship that's going on there. Jesus is in a Gentile place. He's there for the Jews, but he's over here, and then here comes this Canaanite woman seeking after Jesus when they shouldn't have anything to do with each other. It just doesn't make sense. So the setting didn't seem to make sense, but also the conversation doesn't make sense. A little crazy. Canaanite woman calls out to him, calls him Lord, Son of David. She knows the background between the peoples. She calls him Lord, and in so doing, she recognizes him as the Messiah. But in doing that, she recognizes him as the Son of David, because the Messiah was going to come in the lineage of the Son of David. And in doing that, she recognizes him of the royal line of kings of Israel. And so she's approaching someone in this lineage who she recognizes as the Messiah. But here's this kingly line. Here's this relationship between the cultures. And what's her response? Have mercy on me. Imagine, here you are going to someone that you know probably doesn't like you. Your people don't get along, but you're convinced that that's the only person that can really help you. What else would you say besides have mercy on me? So that's the position that she takes before him, understanding that. What irony. So she calls out, have mercy on me. And, you know, it's kind of funny, just a little aside, the irony that Jesus is over with his people trying to convince them that he's the Messiah, and they're rejecting him. They're going to soon start to seek to kill him. And so he flees there, goes into Gentile land, and here comes a Canaanite woman that's convinced that he's the Messiah. Just kind of ironic in the middle of that passage that it's there. But it gets even crazier. Jesus doesn't even respond to her cry for mercy and her call for help for her daughter. Does that sound like the Jesus that you and I know? It doesn't. It's baffling. It doesn't make sense. So Jesus doesn't reply, but you know who does reply? The disciples. The disciples say, get her out of here. She's driving us crazy. Maybe they're saying, Lord, would you just heal her daughter so she'll go away? But she's pestering them. They want her to go away. And Jesus hasn't responded yet, but now he does. But he doesn't respond to her necessarily. He responds back to the disciples, and he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, I know she can hear him, but he's responding to what the disciples just said about sending her away. And he's saying to them, listen, right here, right now, my short time in this place, my ministry is very focused. I don't have time for this, is what he says. And it's like, ouch. That's not the Jesus that I know. So pause. Why is Jesus so cold to this woman? Think about how Jesus often had dialogue with people. Jesus was a master at the interchange between people, challenging them and making them really think about what they were doing, what they were about, their motives, their heart, their intent. And so he would say things that were a stumbling block to people. Think about the rich young guy that came to him. And he says, good teacher. He says, why do you call me good? There's no one good but God alone. Well, that's immediately going to make him back up and say, are you God? And then he asks, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, you got to do this, do this, do this, do this. And he says, I've done all those things. And Jesus says, then sell everything you have. And at that, he can't handle it. Jesus pushes him to know where his heart and his faith and his motive are. And the rich young guy can't handle it. And he goes away. The Canaanite woman hears this word that seems to just shove her off. She doesn't quit. She presses in all the harder. Realizing his ministry's focus, she comes and she kneels before him, pleading, Lord, help me. But Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Well, Jesus, I'm not sure what I think about you right now. You were cold and now you've gone even colder to this woman, calling her a dog. Isn't that too far? Why do you have to bring up the dirt about the culture, about race, and all those types of things and throw that out in front of this woman? Again, it just doesn't make sense. But here's her response. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Incredible. She's convinced to her very core that Jesus is who he says he is, that he's the Messiah, and he can heal her. He can do what no one else can do. Even though Jesus is throwing out these cold, hard statements, he's testing. And her response is, I'm pressing in, I'm pressing in, I'm pressing in. Lord, you can do it. You can do it. So the setting doesn't make sense. The conversation doesn't make sense. But acting on your faith always makes sense. Her faith cries out to Jesus' heart. And now we understand exactly why Jesus was where he was. Jesus is Jesus. He knows all things. Jesus knows he has an appointment with a Canaanite woman who has incredible faith. And so he's out there. Maybe this is partially to challenge the disciples, a demonstration of the disciples. Here is a Gentile woman. Jesus didn't come for the Gentiles. But we see this blowing people's minds as Jesus always does with the way that he interacted with her. She presses in to the Messiah to say, help me, I just want the scraps. Even your scraps are going to do what needs to be done. Lord, I have faith. Despite the boundaries, despite the resistance, she's desperately seeking only what Jesus could give. Jesus responds, acknowledging her faith, praising her faith, and as Jesus does when he acknowledges someone's faith, he provides the healing. He provides the touch. So it doesn't make sense, but we see Jesus taking this appointed time, this specific situation, to say, when things don't make sense, press in. And we see this woman's faith, and it's such a challenge to us. And so what do we take away from this? How can we apply what we've heard here? Following Jesus takes faith. You have to want it bad. Going all in with Jesus, like I said at the start, it's not a haphazard, lackadaisical thing. There is no stagnant with Jesus. You're either pressing forward or you're falling back. Last Thursday, Dr. Smith talked about bitterness. All of those steps that he walked us through, you have got to pursue it. It's not going to come to you and just happen. You have got to say, Lord, we need to do some business. I need your help, and I've got to get going on this. And you've got to dig in. Following Jesus takes faith. You've got to want it bad. So here, regardless of your surroundings, follow your faith. You might be around a group of people that could care less about growing in their faith, but something is tugging at you. Follow your faith. Don't let the context drive you away. This woman had no business being there, and the disciples didn't even want her there. Didn't matter. She was going after her Lord. Regardless of any stumbling blocks, all of those statements that Jesus said that were testing and trying and pushing her just revealed the extent of her faith. So regardless of the stumbling blocks that might come out in front of you, follow your faith. It doesn't take a lot of faith. Jesus talked about that. But as we read stories like this, is our faith challenged? Does it grow? But don't let those stumbling blocks knock you down. Let them be the challenge to press in even harder, as this Canaanite woman did. And then last of all, regardless of yourself, follow your faith. She sat there and she recognized all the cultural differences, the background, all those things that were different. She could have looked and said, he hates me. He's rejected me. But in spite of herself, what might have been inside, she's following her faith. And then, as we always realize, Jesus has put himself exactly where he needs to be to do the things that he's intended to do. It may look like nonsense that he was out over there in the land of Canaan to do what he was going to do, but he knew exactly what was going to happen. So would you willingly say, Lord, something's not right? And then would you pursue him relentlessly? Or has your faith hit January 17th and you've quit? And you're like, I don't see it. It's not working for me. And you've kind of quit. Maybe getting started is the hardest part. And you really haven't tested yourself. You know, I was going to wear a coat and tie today, but after Trey rocked it so good on Tuesday, I just went with an old casual guy look. But he talked about blind Bartimaeus there. Blind Bartimaeus wanted it. And another encounter where Jesus was exactly where he needed to be to teach the lesson and do the work that God had called him to do as an example and a testimony to us. So there's that challenge. His grace will always be there for you, but you have to have the guts to tell him. Let's pray together. Father, there's lots of things in our life that make following after you senseless sometimes. It's the peers that we're around. Nobody's going after you. Why should we? I like what I'm doing. I know it doesn't please you, but I like it. Maybe it's our own heart and the challenges there, and they push against us and they knock our faith down. Lord, regardless of that, may we see this incredible example of this Canaanite woman that pressed after you and her faith and relentlessly pursued you, that you would be able to once again prove that you are the God who you are and can do all things in us. Lord, as we get challenge after challenge here at CIU, that can become deaf words on our ears. We can get callous to that. So I pray that your Spirit would prick our hearts and challenge us to pursue you. Lord, help us to want it bad. To blow by January 17th with no thought whatsoever of quitting. And if it means starting, may we have the faith of blind Bartimaeus, this Canaanite woman, to go after you. Thank you for your love, your goodness to us, your gift on the cross that poured out your grace to us that enables us to do what you've called us to do. So help us to take that by faith and go get it. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.